I want to thank everyone for being here this afternoon. As you know, we're going through a preacher's training course, and tonight, y'all are stuck with me, I'm sorry. You know, I feel like sometimes that we're in our own little reality show almost, you know, America's Next Preacher. Because it seems like every afternoon service, they turn off the air and see how much we're going to sweat before we start preaching. So hopefully, we'll last. But tonight, I want to talk to you about a serious subject. A subject that is creeping into our lives. It's already here. I mean, it's already here. And something that we need to know how we feel about. Know how Christ wants us to feel. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the issue of homosexuality. We're going to take a look at the scriptures to see what they say about homosexuality. We're going to see what the Lord would have us act. We want to see how we need to treat these people. Finally, we're going to look at some statistics that show other sins and other things that homosexuality leads to. Now, while on the issue, let me say this. I do not believe that the scripture or Christians could single out a particular sin and say one is more wrong or more deserving than punishment than the other. All sin is sin. And that's something we need to learn and that we need to know. But as you know by now, that many different places claim to be the Lord's church. Many different views on how you should treat homosexuality. It's almost like the majority are on one side or the other. On one side of the spectrum or the other. Either they accept them or they hate them. I worded that specifically, claims to be the Lord's church. Because sometimes their teaching is so far from what God says that they're something else. They're not the Lord's church. I want you to listen to this. I picked out two churches, and I want you to hear their views on homosexuality. The Westboro Baptist Church. For instance, look at this place. It's in Topeka, Kansas. We would hear the teachings of God hates fags, or fags burn in hell. And you can even hear that by their own website, that it's www.godhatesfags.com. As I looked through their sermons on the website, 95% of what I read was hate and hell. One sermon I found was The God of All Comfort, a sermon that was made on January 14th, 2007. I clicked on it with some hopes that there's a good message or the good news is spread, but I was wrong. Even for myself, as I read their material, I was appalled by their claims of being a Christian. Embarrassed that others might associate us as Christians with them. Because to atheists, we're all just one thing. We're all Christians, no matter how we look at it. And I stand here today to tell you that there's no evidence of Christ in that group's life. There's none of their teaching is what Christ would have taught. So with that said, let's go to the next church. The United Church of Christ. So on the other end of the spectrum, we find churches like the United Church of Christ that will teach that God loves everyone just the way they are and to affirm your lifestyle, choosing to be homosexual or not. No need to change or stop any actions because if you're that way, God must have made you that way. And despite what the Bible says, times have changed and we need to change no matter what God has said. On their website, you can find that the UCC has no rigid formula or doctrine or attachment to creeds or structures. And their website is www.ucc.org. When someone doesn't stand for something, they'll stand for everything. So what we have is a couple of different churches and what they teach. We don't need to hear what the individual preacher or the individual church says. We need to know what God says. So let's start by asking, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? Well, let's begin in the Old Testament. Turn to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Leviticus 18, chapter 22. And it says, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. Now turn over to Leviticus 20, verse 13. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. In both verses, he's saying that is detestable. In other translations, abomination. Webster defines abomination as extreme disgust or hatred. Well, let's read about Sodom and Gomorrah. Turn to Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. Genesis 18, verse 20. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sins so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. Now look at chapter 19, verse 1. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and when you go your way early in the morning, no, they answered, you will spend the night in the square, or we will spend the night in the square. But he insisted strongly that they answer. He insisted strongly that they go with him and to enter the house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They had called Lot. Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so we can have sex with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters, and they have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under my house for protection. Get out of our way, they replied and said, this fellow came here as an alien, and he wants to play judge. We'll treat you worse than them. But many people will say, well, that is so Old Testament. Well, that is the Old Testament. But there's a lot of things the Old Testament don't follow. So should we follow this as well, that we shouldn't lie with another man, or is it detestable still? And even some supporters of homosexuality will say that Sodom and Gomorrah's sin was not homosexuality. It was being selfish and inhospitable. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, and look at verse 49. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy, and they were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore I did away with them, as you have seen. Sodom had a lot of sin. Selfishness and inhospitality was among them. But they also did detestable things, which we see homosexuality as described as such. In the New Testament, Jude tells us something of their sin, their sexual perversion. Turn to Jude, verse 7. Jude, verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They served as an example of those who suffer in punishment of eternal fire. And elsewhere in the New Testament, we can find some teachings on homosexuality. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexual immorality, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Turn to Romans 1, chapter 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now drop down to 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust, for even their women exchanged natural relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed for lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Now, there is nowhere in the scriptures that say homosexuality is a positive thing or a neutral thing. It's always sin. It's sin because homosexuality is against God's design. God is the designer of all creations, including humans and human life. And homosexuality is not how God has designed things to work. First off, it is against God's design for the family. Turn over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So the Lord God caused man to fall in a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and closed the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man. And he had brought her to the man. And the man said, "Now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she is taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." He had made woman the perfect complement for man. A man and woman united in God's marriage is God's design for the family. He has created men and women differently so to fulfill their roles as a family. Now, I know that there are plenty of single moms and single dads that do a great job raising their kids. But God has designed the family to function best with a mother and a father. A boy needs a role model in his life, as well as examples of how to treat women. A girl needs female role models, as well as a male role model to provide appropriate fatherly love to the daughter, to show her great value, to show her love, so that she doesn't grow up seeking other men or other women, not healthy emotional or physical relationships. Kids both need a male and a female for the best chance of growing up emotionally healthy, because that's the way God designed the family. Also, homosexuality is against God's design for sex. Turn to Romans 1, verse 26. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, "Even their women exchanged natural relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed for lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men." Sex between people of the same gender is unnatural. God has designed sex that it would not only be enjoyable, but also for procreation. The design of bodies of men and women show naturally that they are perfect together. God created complement to one another because male and female causes procreation, not male and male, and not female and female. Dr. Amon M. Nicolai of the Harvard Medical School Department of Psychiatry said, "No society, past or present, has ever tolerated the institutionalization of homosexuality. For to do so would be sow seeds of its own extinction, because homosexuality undermines the basic unit of society, the family. And the course precludes procreation, which means the extinction of the human race." Dr. Neil Whitehead stated regarding various cultures, "If homosexuality was significantly influenced by genes, it would appear in every culture. But in 29 of 75 cultures surveyed by Ford and Beach in 1952, homosexuality was rare and absent. Homosexuality is a sin because it goes how God designs life and humans." So from the scriptures, we see that homosexuality is sin and it's against what God wants. So from what we can see, the United Church of Christ is not following what God wants us to do. To just accept the problem and change our beliefs is not the example that God left for us. Should we treat homosexuality acceptingly and not try to save them and not try to change their lifestyles? Absolutely not. We cannot confirm or affirm a lifestyle that God calls sin, because that would be sin for us as well. And the reality is, no matter how pleasantly they say things, they're not offering the good news. And people are still caught up in sin, whether it's homosexuality or any sin. If we don't change the lifestyle, make a true repentance, we're just accepting it. That's not changing. But on the other side, are we supposed to be holding up picket signs that say God hates fags? Are we supposed to be preaching that God hates fags? Should we be treating them like the Westboro Baptist Church by preaching messages of hate? Absolutely not. What they preach is not good news. It's condemnation. So how should we treat homosexuals? We need to treat homosexuals with love. Example, when Jesus was asked about the greatest command, turn with me to Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." We need to treat homosexual people with the love of Jesus. Yes, homosexuals who are acting out on those feelings are sinning just as you and I do when we act on inappropriate feelings. When we get mad, when we lash out, we sin. When we lust after somebody else, just as Jesus tells us, we've sinned. We too have a sinful nature, just like homosexuals. But even in spite of our sinful nature, we've all been created in the image of God, even if that image is distorted by sin. Now, we do not love them or anyone else by affirming their sinful choices, which will only keep them in bondage and keep them away from Christ. But we need to speak to them in loving truth. The way that shows love, the way that shows respect to a person, that shows how Jesus lived. Also, another example of how Jesus loved and respected someone in sin, we can look how he treated the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. Please turn there and look at me with me at verse 11. John chapter 8, verse 11. "He did not condemn her, nor did he affirm her choices. Instead, he spoke the truth in love. He says, 'Then neither do I condemn you,' Jesus declared. 'Go now and leave your life of sin.' He recognized her sin and called it such and told her to leave her sin. That is love. Jesus doesn't want us living in sin and suffering the consequences of sin. He wants us to turn from sin. And in Christ, we have that hope of leaving our sins. Even homosexuals can, by Jesus Christ. they can leave their lives of sin. We can love those who are in bondage to this sin by sharing with them the love that Jesus has, the ways taught, teach the ways that Jesus taught to help them overcome this sin. We need to do what we can to help these people instead of condemning them. But we all know that overcoming starts with establishing a life with Christ, by receiving Him as the Savior. There's also help that's needed to help this person overcome this. Just like any other addicting sin, whether it's drinking, smoking, video games, gambling, whatever, if it rules your life or if it's addicting to your personality, you need help. And what better way than to ask help of Christians? We need to treat them with not only love, but also treat them with humility. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, to show true humility toward all men. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things we've done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs to having the hope of eternal life. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, the male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of us were. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We can never think that we're better than someone who is suffering amidst of sin, because the reality is we needed God's mercy just like they did. We need to be humble and recognize that it is only by God's mercy that we're able to overcome our sin. And we need to be an example of God's mercy in helping others to overcome their sin as well. And the fact that some of us may still have sin to overcome, but understand, though, that even though each one of us may have sin to overcome, that doesn't mean we can't call sin what it is. There is hope and there's freedom in Jesus Christ, and we need to be sharing that with people, homosexuals included, so they might be able to experience the fullness of life in Christ. We need to recognize that Satan is active in this world, deceiving people on how they can find fulfillment. Satan deceives us into thinking that the boundaries God has set, especially in the area of sex, are to rob us of joy. But the simple fact is, they're there to give us experience in life, to help us with experience of life, the experience of sex, and to live life to the fullest. Because listening outside the boundaries that God has given us, it leads us to pain, to death, to heartache. Satan covers up the ugliness of sin with a fresh paint job. He's almost like the best used car salesman you'll ever meet. He seeks to convince us, well, this is really what we want and what's good for us. Yet underneath that paint job is something that's very dangerous for us. It has no brakes, no safety belt, no steering wheel. And when we find out that's not good for us, we're already on our way to crashing with little hope and no way to stop. It's the same ploy he used with Eve. He tried to get us to doubt God's love and believe the lies about what could be better. We choose to believe the lie, and we exit those boundaries. We suffer the consequences for our actions. But thankfully, God's love is abundant, and his love did not end when we bought Satan's lies. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave us a way out so we would not have to suffer our poor choices eternally. Because of our sin, because of our choice against God, has brought death. But God's gift gave us life. Turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But not only did Christ Jesus die for those sins that we might experience in eternal life, but also so we could have a full life, free from enslavement of sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 19. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. Just as you used to offer your body parts into slavery to impurity and to increasingly wickedness, so now offer them to slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, becoming slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can live holy lives and bring real fulfillment to our lives when we are living in Christ. Not lives of condemnation, but lives of free, lives be holy, fulfilling lives. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the laws of sin and death. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then do not let yourselves be burdened against by a yoke of slavery. So with that said, we know that homosexuality is wrong. We know that we should be preaching against it. But not messages of hate, not messages to spite people, but messages of love. Talking to them like you would talk to any other person. But with this in mind, I want you to listen to these statistics that I found about living a life as a homosexual. In regards to homosexual couples and domestic violence, a recent study by Canada government states that violence was twice as common in homosexual couples compared with heterosexual couples. Also, according to the American College of Pediatrics, who cited several studies, violence among homosexual partners is 2 to 3 times more common than among married homosexual couples. Regarding homosexuality and cheating on other people, in 2004, a report reporting the following, a new study group of University of Chicago researchers revealed a high level of cheating and unhealthy behavior among the city's homosexual male population. According to the researchers, 42.9% of homosexual males in Chicago Shoreland have had more than 60 sexual partners, while an additional 18.4% have had between 31 and 60 partners. As a result, 55.1% of homosexual males in the Shoreland, known as Chicago's Gay Center, have had at least one sexually transmitted disease. A survey by The Advocate, a homosexual magazine, reveals that cheating is a reality among homosexuals. The poll found that 20% of homosexuals said that they've had 51 to 300 different sex partners in their lifetime, with an additional 8% having more than 300. Now think of it. Living in Alabama, we can't really wrap our minds around that. But we're talking about cities like New York, where they live by thousands. Where they're constantly looking for different things. Regarding homosexuality and health, of newly diagnosed HIV infections in the United States during the year of 2003, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, estimated that 63% were among men who were infected through sexual contact with other men. A 1997 CDC report found that among homosexuals who had unprotected intercourse and multiple partners, 68% were entirely unaware of the HIV status of their partners. In 2006, the Medical Journal of Australia stated the following. High rates of intestinal parasites were found in MSM, who are men who like to have sex throughout the world. In 2007, the Los Angeles Times reported that frequent methamphetamines used is 20 times greater among homosexuals than the general population. There have been notable number of incidents involving the issue of homosexuality and the suppression of religious liberties. In the regards to dissent and objectiveness of homosexuality, for example, in 2001 of October, a 69-year-old street preacher named Harry Hammond of Bournemouth, England, was subject to an assault by an angry crowd of 40 people while he proclaimed his Christianity views in a town which included a call to repentance against homosexuality. Mr. Hammond was arrested and prosecuted, but no arrests were made in the respect of those who assaulted him. Appeals to overturn the verdict included the appeal to the European Court of Human Rights. Regarding studies about homosexual couples and violence, a recent study by the Canadian government regarding homosexual couples state that violence was twice as common among homosexual groups compared with heterosexual couples. The Journal of the Family's Research Institute, using data from the U.S. Justice Department, Bureau of Justice Statistics, and the Center of Disease Control, concluded that married men who were not separated are at least 25 times less apt to domestically attack than a homosexual male in an ongoing relationship. Even if we include all the married and separated husbands, the risk of domestic violence in a male and male homosexuality relationship is still at least greater by 18%. Another study indicated that 83% of homosexual reports have been emotionally abused by their partners. The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs Domestic Abuse Fact Sheet states 11% of women in homosexual relationships and 23% of men in homosexual relationships report of being raped, physically assaulted, and or stalked by their intimate partner. A study in the Journal of Interpersonal Violence examined conflicts and the violence in lesbian relationships. The researchers found that 90% of lesbians surveyed have been recipients of one or more acts of verbal aggression from their intimate partners during the year prior to the study. Within 31% report one or more incidents of physical abuse. A study in 1985 of 1,109 lesbians reported that slightly more than half of the respondents indicated they were abused by a female partner. A study of lesbian couples reported in 2000 in the Handbook of Family Development and Intervention indicates that 54% have experienced 10 or more abusive incidents. 54% have experienced 6 or more incidents. 60% reported a pattern to the abuse, and 71 said it grew worse over time. A Bell and Weinberg report, a study of diversity among men and women, shared these findings. 74% of white male homosexuals had sex with more than 100 partners. 79 said these were total strangers. 43 said they had sex with more than 500. And 78 were at any given time affected by an STD. 98 used marijuana. 50% use cocaine, and 42 have experienced depression, and 18 has even attempted suicide. The median median age of death for a homosexual is 42. This drops to 39 if AIDS is involved, and the median age of a heterosexual male is 75. The median age of death of a lesbian is 45. While the median age of death for a married heterosexual woman, 79. Thomas Schmidt, in a study of homosexual relationships, found that 8% of men and 7% of women have ever had a relationship that lasted more than 3 years. There's no long-term faithfulness in relationships like these. I wonder why. And I can say for one that I can believe most, if not all, these things. And not because I'm a homophobe or whatever they call us. But think of me a few years back when I was dating a girl named Angel. She had a lot of homosexual friends. And from what I can see from these studies, it's true. I can see how many partners they went through. I can see the violence they've all went through. It concerns me that these realities are never shown in the media, or it's never told to us or our children. It concerns me that we're not allowed to speak our mind and do what the Lord wants us to do because we're called closed-minded. Or the fact that being Christians have such an ugly stigma, they call us gay haters or gay bashers. But let me tell you what's going to happen if we remain silent. If homosexual marriages or homosexual ways become a part of the norm, and it opens the door for so much more. What if pedophiles start saying they want rights? What if bestiality, people who like animals, what if they wanted rights? But hey, Christians are closed-minded, aren't we? We commit hate crimes. We're trying to take everyone's fun, aren't we? Would you call a Christian who sincerely tries to help someone, to help them deal with a temptation, what would you call them? I would call him or her a loving person. Someone who really cares. Guys, remember, hate the sin, love the sinner. Don't give them a reason to call us prude. Don't give them a reason to call us homophobes, gay bashers, self-righteous bigots. And maybe you're here today because you have to struggle, the struggle. Or maybe you're struggling with another sin besides homosexuality. Maybe you're in the crowd that hates them. Maybe you're in the crowd that accepts them. There is hope to overcome, regardless of what it is. Maybe you know someone who is struggling with homosexuality, and there is hope for them in Jesus Christ. We can extend God's grace and love and humility and speak truthfully so they too can receive that mercy that God offers. Whether you're struggling or know someone is, the hope of overcoming the sin starts with making Jesus your Savior. In fact, no matter what sin you're struggling with, we all need to come to repentance, to change our lives, make us better. He died to pay the price for your sins. He wants to have a relationship with you and to help you. Won't you receive that help today? Recognize that Christ is the Savior, the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Believe that He died for your sins and rose from the dead 3 days later, showing that He has the power over death. Confess your sins, claim Him as Lord in your life, and be baptized, because we are all here to help you. Think about this as we stand and sing.